Okay.
The next figure we're going to discuss is a very long figure in Brachot, which deals with the topic of Yisurin, in other words, suffering. Okay, and it deals with all aspects of suffering. In fact, I don't know if you remember this from the Daf, but the Gemara is unusually verbose on the subject. Meaning, until now, we've learned a lot of different figure, and the Agadah is, how should we say, somewhat obtuse. It doesn't really come out and say what it wants to say. But in this case, it's a very long Gemara, and the Gemara actually deals with many of the issues, many of the theological issues, explicitly in the text. So we're not going to do that much Perush, and there's a lot of Perush on it. We're not going to do a ton on it. We're going to do a couple of different small pieces, but mostly I want to go through the text with you today, this week, and then next week especially. Okay, and obviously the topic is going to be Yisurin, and the obvious question is going to be, why do people suffer? Okay, and ironically, we all know the answers, in a sense. And what's the best answer? The best answer is...
Because we don't know.
We don't know. That's the best answer. You're going to see all the other answers that you know, right? But all the problem with all those answers are... They don't make you happy. Okay? So the best answer is we don't know. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to say at the very, very end of the sukkah. Okay, but you got to get there. Says the Gemara.
Any other Gemaras in?
What?
Is it just Brachot you're focusing on?
We've got to focus on Brachot. If you have another suggestion, I'm happy to.
No, just I think maybe I'm wrong, but I thought Shabbos we just recently did.
We had a Yisurin Gemara in Shabbos. I didn't review it four times.
If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. It was quite dark.
Which one was that about the dream one? Is that related to the dream one?
The dream one is Brachot.
Yeah, there are ones about the dream one, but
The dream one is if you see this, this is what's going to happen. But this is if you don't light candles or if you don't do this.
Yes.
No, it's in Shabbos.
But that's not about suffering per se. Yeah. And so when we talk about suffering, we talk about how should we say this? In our minds, what seems to be unjustified or unnecessary suffering. That's what really we're talking about.
So if you forget Shabbos candles and you die...
Well, remember the Gemara talked... Remember the Gemara talked about... Remember that story when the guy said, I didn't do anything wrong, and then my husband didn't do anything wrong, and then Tana said, that's the Gemara you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. He said, were you sitting on the same... Were you careful about Nagia? I'm like, no, my husband would never do anything like that, but were you careful on Nagia? No, we weren't, fine. You did something wrong, you know what I'm saying? Like, remember that Gemara?
Yeah.
We wouldn't say that either.
Is that reasonable?
Who are you to say? Well, why would it not be reasonable? Why would it not be reasonable? Who are we to say what proper punishment is?
Who's the Gemara to say?
I think that that's their role.
Really?
To tell you the significance of a certain action or inaction. Sure. Let's see in a second. You'll say, Amar Rav, just read it, and then we can argue, which we always do. Amar Rav, Avitam Rav, Chizda. Im ro'e adam shiyisurin ba'in alav yifafesh b'ma'asav. If a person sees that he is suffering ba'in alav. We're going to focus on the language also. Suffering comes upon him. Yifafesh b'ma'asav. Translated?
That's what the object is.
Lefashfesh.
Should not look.
This is a very... You can't ignore the formulation. Right? It should say ye'ayin b'ma'asav. It should say... Yechapes b'ma'asav. It doesn't say, it says lefashfesh. What does lefashfesh mean?
I would imagine it's like dig around or not to...
Right, you're just guessing from context.
Yeah.
Right.
No, also from the language though.
Lefashfesh?
Yeah, the double, feel like fish. Exactly. I mean, that's generally
lechalchel,
or whatever, like, you know.
Okay.
Not right. Not normally on the matter.
Like lemashmesh to... Can anybody think of a comparable language? Is a standard lefashfesh? Is that standard or is it unique?
Sitzufs.
Well, I'm asking that word. Pishpush. That word is standard? Really? Does that word appear somewhere that you're aware of?
Not in modern day newspapers.
But no, not in modern newspapers. Is it a Tanakhi word?
Yes, it's mosquito or whatever.
No.
Chukapishpushim. The flea marker, flea.
No. Sugar fish.
It's a pish pish. It's a flea.
No.
What are you talking about? Of course it is.
Come on, Mr. I Talmud.
What?
I Talmud.
I Talmud?
Yeah, isn't that I Talmud?
I don't have I Talmud. I was going to
flee. There's another flea. Another flea, but also a pish pesh is a flea. As well as there's another word for flea that we use. We also had that in Brachot, the flea that went to the
Mount David. Pish pesh is a wicket. Pish pesh is a wicket.
What?
That's what Google says. Doesn't mean it's right. The fashvesh is a bed bug. A bed bug. Okay. What does that mean? So what does that mean, the fashvesh then?
It's a you looks and crannies kind of
thing. Okay. To examine in minute detail, the fashvesh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's different than to feel around. Feel around is to check.
Think of a baboon looking for
the fashvesh means
grooming.
Okay, that means like you ever check for lice? I mean, or you ever watch your wife check for lice? Brutal. You know what I'm saying? It's exacting. That's a very interesting word. The fashvesh masa means to fine tooth comb. Okay.
Parosh is a flea.
Shneimar nach besar darkenu v'nach kora. And what's the next of the word? What's the next word in the pasuk? Nach besar darkenu v'nach kora. What's the next word? No. V'gomer. What's the v'gomer? V'nashuv el Hashem. Right? Important. Nach pesar darkenu v'nach kora. We will examine and chachor, do cheker, do research, I guess, and we return to God. Pish pesh v'lo matza. Yidle b'bitul Torah. Okay, you found some, you searched and didn't find anything. Then you bitul Torah. Must be because of bitul Torah. שנאמר, אשרי הגבר אשר תיישבנו השם, ומתורתך תלמדנו. So there's a connection between ומתורתך תלמדנו and תיישבנו השם. Okay? Next. Turn the page 49. ואם תלה ולא מצא, so you looked, you searched, okay? And you didn't find anything. בידוע שיסורים של אהבה הם, שנאמר, כי את אשר יאהב השם יוכיח. Then it's known that these are יסורים של אהבה. Let's read on a little bit more. אמר רבא, אמר רבא, אמר רב סחורה, אמר רב הונא, כל שהקדוש ברוך הוא חפץ בו, מדכאו ביסורים. The more God likes you, it reminds me of the famous line my grandfather used to say. We would go fishing in the channel in the back of his house. We never catch anything because it was disgusting. But, you know, he would say, you know what the fish say? Rube, you know what the fish say? No, Zed, what did the fish say? If you like me, leave me alone. That's what he used to say. If you like fish, you leave them alone. You don't fish because you like fish, you fish because you like you.
That's what I said to me on the Shabbos thing. What noise does a cow make?
You said that? Okay. Kol shakadosh baruch hu chafetz bo, the more God likes you, midak o b'yisurin, he slams you with afflictions. Shneimar v'Hashem chafetz dak o hecheli. You can look that up. Yachol afilu lo kibla me'ahava. One might think that this would apply even if one did not accept them, accept the suffering with love. Talmud lomar im tasim asham nafsho. If a person will place his asham on his own nefesh, ma asham ledat, af yisurin ledat. What does that sound like it implies? I mean, that's not what it sounds like. What does that say explicitly?
Some guilt.
Ledat, what does that mean, ledat? Midato. It sounds like, okay, it's saying that a person has a choice whether to accept the Yisurin or not. Just like, Yachol afilu lo kibla me'ava, you might think, right, the more God loves you, the more He afflicts you with Yisurin. But only if what? Only if you accept them. If you accept them with love, then you get more. Thank you, sir, may I have another. If you don't accept them with love, it's like a korban. Right? Just like, Im tasim asham nafsha. Ma asham lidat. Lidat means willfully accepting. Av yisurin lidat. So too, these yisurin, what kind of yisurin are we talking about? Yisurin shel ahava. It's only lidat. ואם קיבלם, and if you accept them, as charom, יראה זרע יאריך ימים. Right? Long life, זרע, children. ולעוד, what?
Is this the Gemara where the God says, I can't take this, is this too?
That, no, that's the next piece. We're going to do this piece today, that's the next piece. Actually, the next piece is the three things that a person has to suffer for in order to get. Anybody want to guess what the three things are? What are the three things that you only get through suffering? Tam Torah, Olam Haba, and number three? No. You don't know?
You
know did this in the Daf. Should ring a bell. It's a very famous Gemara. Three things that require suffering in order to accept them, receive them. Tam Torah, Olam Haba, Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
I was like, surprise! Come on, guys. Yeah.
And we're actually living it.
Yeah, right. But it's actually true. The more you suffer for something, the more you become connected to it. It's definitely true.
This is
what?
You've been saying this for a year now.
And you continue to deny it?
I didn't deny it.
You might not like it, but it's definitely
no,
true.
What? Nothing worthwhile comes easy. It's
not
like,
true. I don't agree that. And then there are people
who
agree with that. We say that every Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, we say it all the time. You know, without suffering, you know, give us from your hand, but not from the hand of man, and all this stuff.
I don't want to get sick. Yeah.
I can't cope with it. I'm too weak. I'm too.
Below, somebody accepts this Yisurin Shel Ava, his Talmud, his learning, his Mitkayem. Shneimar vechipet Hashem biyado yitzlach. Okay, we'll stop here.
What's Ladat?
Where are you? Ma Hashem Ladat. Ladat means according to your accepted willfully. Okay? After meaning that when you bring a korban, you have to bring a korban, asham ledat, except like with the person's knowledge, willful knowledge. So too, Yisurim Shel Ava. So it's interesting that the Torah, the Gemara, is directly connecting, making connection between Yisurim and korbanot. Right? We call it a sacrifice. Korban is not really a sacrifice. Korban is bringing of oneself, becoming closer to God. How do you do that? Offering an animal.
Smicha.
Killing an animal?
Smicha.
What's the real korban? What's the real sacrifice? That's right. The real sacrifice is self-sacrifice. The ideal sacrifice is sacrificing of yourself.
This doesn't really jive with this.
So we give korbanot ki'ilu instead. But in the real world, in the ideal world, what korban should you really be giving? And if not your whole body, you're not supposed to kill yourself, chas v'shalom, but you sacrifice of yourself. You give of yourself.
This doesn't seem to fit with what we actually know from the Torah.
Why?
Because it says in the Torah that when if you do all of Hashem's will and you do everything that you're supposed to do, and I thought the Geshem Beito and all those things, so if you serve Shalab are things that are presumably or ostensibly a positive thing, then you should be getting your Surin should be part of that package. When Hashem gives you all this bracha, you should say, hey, I'm going to give you a Surin because I love you so much.
This is like an asham. You did something wrong, you accept to do an asham. It's something you accept because you did something wrong. So it's learning from your mistake. You bring an asham, okay. It's recognizing it.
Therefore
I think that Yisurim is like an asham. It doesn't mean you want more Yisurim, it just means that you're recognizing that this Yisurim, this particular one came on you, you're recognizing that it came on you for, and you're going to accept it like an asham.
But we're just saying, and I get that from the standpoint of the men, but from the standpoint of what the Gemara is saying, it's saying that if you do accept your Yisurin Bahar Abba, you'll get more Yisurin.
Where does it say that?
That's exactly what it says.
Where?
Da page Lamin Lamitet. Im Kile Ma'ashal Ledat. Obviously, Ledat.
No, but I'm saying that doesn't mean you get more. That just means you accept the Yisurin for what it is. As
and
an asham.
What? Ma asham l'dat.
And therefore you...
Wait, what does it mean? Look at the verse. Yachol afilu lo kibla me'ahava. You might have think that God brings upon you Yisurin, even if you didn't want them, even if you didn't accept them me'ahava. Talmud lomar im tasim asham nafsho. It's like a korban asham. Just like a korban asham is l'dat, it has to be that the person who receives them accepts them me'ahava. So too, Yisurin, a person has to accept me'ahava.
I don't see that as
nothing, but it says, look, Kol she'akadosh baruch hu chafetz bo, midako b'yisurin.
The more he likes you,
he gives you more Yisurin.
Right.
Oh, but that would be my
friends like you whom it's enemies.
Okay. Wait, let's go back. Let's ask a few questions.
The idea of these Yusurin is that you get your punishment here because it's less. So when you go to Alamaba, you don't have any Yusurin there. Okay, so that's why he loves you so much, and he gives you less here, and he's going to give you an Alamaba.
That's already a tight, isn't it?
Okay,
really.
But I don't.
That makes you happy.
I don't. No.
Because we're about to see the En Yaakov saying
this.
I don't know if you're willfully or not willfully quoting En Yaakov. That's exactly what En Yaakov is going to say. So, thank you. But, well, we'll see it inside a minute. But it didn't make him that happy.
Yeah, but it can't be saying what it's saying. I mean, it can't be saying that because of
it can't be saying what it's saying?
No.
But it's saying.
But it can't be taken, it can't be translated or be understood in the way that it's saying. Because then you have a cause. Oh, you're not suffering, you're not tzaddik. Hashem doesn't like you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's the corollary to it.
Yeah,
so therefore, it can't be that. I mean, there's some people who, you know, the Amoraim who were wealthy and, you know, whatever. There's some Amoraim, Rabbi Akiva, Tanaim, Rabbi Akiva, who had it hard. I'm saying you can't apply this klal because then it becomes something that you say, okay, you're doing well, you're a Russia. You're doing not so well, you're a tzaddik.
First of all, I'm not saying it. The more he likes you, midak obi yisurin.
I understand.
So you're saying it can't mean what it says.
But this is why we're going through this to understand that it can't be just taken at face value.
Well, I don't accept your karban either. Because karban, I agree, is about coming close to Hashem. It's about avodah to Hashem and finding that channel to Hashem. I agree. I also agree that it's about kapara.
Can I ask you a question?
It is not about affliction. It's not about affliction.
Time out.
Yitzurin is about affliction.
Time out. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you have to sacrifice of yourself in order to come to Israel? I'm going to get personal now. Did you have to sacrifice something to come here? Or you didn't have to give anything up?
No, I had to give lots of it.
Yes.
But I think I got.
Did you suffer?
Now.
Wait, no, just to do it. Even in the process. Not right now, I'm not talking about now.
I can see the good side.
That's not what I asked you. Just answer yes or no. Did you
suffer? Who said you wouldn't have suffered?
Ask the, what's the name? Who comes to the shul? The guys from the 1940s who came. Yeah. It's a better question to ask them, I think.
Oh, yeah. Al-Hakam v'Kama. One could say that their reward is greater.
Those that came from, you know, in the early stages of the state.
It's not a... Let's go back and ask some questions. Some of the questions we will attempt to answer. Some we will not. You have to say something before I continue.
And I'm thinking, because if I'm trying to, like, think of the paradigm of suffering, which is Eov.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is Eov the paradigm of suffering?
Just because, I mean, the common conception, I would say, at least our common conception.
No one suffered like Eov.
No one suffered like Eov. Nonetheless, he still had a bracha at the end of it. So it was not that there was a...
I'm sorry, don't get me wrong. But what happened to his first wife and all his children?
Granted,
they were still dead.
They were still dead, but he had bracha after that.
So
it wasn't a good thing. He wasn't sitting there going, wow, bring me more, give me more, give me more.
I translate as lida'at, according to one's knowledge, according to one's understanding.
Could it be acceptance?
Yeah. Like korban. A korban has to be nida'at. Of one's own volition. Let's read the Gemara again, and then, okay. Well, I'll stop you on my questions, and you can stop me on your questions. Back to Beit Lamazayin. I'm Rav Chizvi, I'm Rav Chizda. I'm Rav Imur Adam Shisu, and Barnavim Yifashvesh Ba'azah. Beautiful. Would anybody have a problem with that? If you see that a person, if you see, I want to focus, by the way, I think that the first answer to whoever, I think Nachi asked the question, it goes against what the Torah says, there's national, and then there's individual. Oh, that's what Kevin said.
I did.
But the question about the Torah, blah, blah, blah. This doesn't seem to go against the Torah. I think that on a national level, on a communal level, if we behave in a certain way, if we behave in an appropriate way, then the Jewish community, then Klal Yisrael will be rewarded. But in the midst of Klal Yisrael, there could very well be a tzaddik, who is the greatest tzaddik in the world, who's still suffering. Why? Because of his tzidkut. Those are different things. And here we're talking about an Adam. Adam, she's ruined by Nilab. It's on the individual level, on the micro level, not on the macro level. Okay? Yifashvesh b'ma'asav. First, look at Iyun Yaakov. He says Iyun Yaakov. Iyun Yaakov is, of course, the very famous commentary of Rav Haigan, Muvak, Rav Yaakov Reicher. We all know Okay. It says the following, near air. Debar lilmud musar. Comes to teach you musar. Kishabain yisun al adam lo yitla debar bederach mikre. Vishlach miyad el harofim lirap oto bederach hateva. He says, don't do, the Gemara is saying, first and foremost, don't do exactly what all of us intuitively, automatically, always do. Which is, you're sick? No. Go to the doctor. When was the last time any of us got sick or engaged in suffering or had something and said, well, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do? And really engage in what's called pishpush b'ma'asa. And the fact that we don't do this, I think, is a terrible indictment of us. Because we're supposed to be these very religious personalities, but in the most intimate parts of our lives, and the things that affect us the most, when things aren't going well, we don't say, why do I deserve, why is this happening to me? You know what I'm saying? And we really should. And it happens, whether you're sick, or you're suing, can be any kind of you're suing. You know, some guy's suing you. Why is this guy suing you? He could have easily chosen not to sue you. Correct? Any kind of pick your anguish. I must have it in your house. I must have it in your whatever. I'm not talking about, by the way, I'm talking about the individual level, not the national. I'm specifically not talking the national, the personal. Pick whatever you want to pick. We all have these kinds of yisurin. Lo aleinu, maybe we don't want yisurin, physical yisurin, but all of us have emotional yisurin. We have anguish. We have pain. We have suffering. And that we don't think to ourselves, well, why? Why is this? Like, I'm going through something now. I don't want to go on to tape. But it's a really good question. You know what I'm saying? It could have gone totally the other way, and then nothing happened. And it's like totally opposite, and now I've got to deal with this huge headache.
You've got the virus, you've got to do tshuva.
What?
You've got the virus, you've got to do tshuva.
Lahavdil. Yeah. I got audited by the IRS.
Virus.
Set it up, funnily enough.
I got audited by the IRS. So now I think I'm not going to end up having to pay, right? Because I have an extremely good accountant. It's not here right now. Right? Who time is that I'm in the clear. And my auditor is full of it. But it's still going to cost me almost 3,000 shekels just to get my documents translated. And it's a ton of money. Why? Kacha. Why me? Why don't you pick on me? Why did I deserve it? So there's a lot of things I should ask that question. You know what I'm saying? Just the agvas nefesh. I'm like, I now hate going. I hate the mailbox. I really hate my mail. I used to love getting mail. I really did.
Not just bills. There's nothing else coming.
There's nothing good. But it's not just bills. It's only bills or like summonses or
wedding invitations.
What?
Wedding invitations.
They send those by email already. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just get magazines.
But you should be first saying, I'm so happy I got this.
Okay, I must be a big tzaddik. 2,700 shekel. It's not enough.
Okay,
so that's what he says. Yifash ve'ishchir b'masav azir la'am b'gam ke musar. Learn the musar. K'moshe arofei tzarich l'kapes ma'ayin ba'lo ha'choli. Now, you see where I am? I'm down here. Okay? Where is the choli? She'tzarich l'itol refu'a mitnageret mize. He has to know what is the root of the illness so he can give you the proper medicine. K'dei she'yachzor le'eitano ha'rishon. In order to return you to your original strength. Ubriat gufo gam ken bebriut hanefesh. The same thing is bebriut hanefesh of the soul. If ashvesh b'maasav me'eze avera ne'enash, what sin did you commit that you're punished by in the labisurin ke'elu? Kedei she'aseh tshuvat hamishkal, to do the corresponding tshuva, she'ikar refuat hanefesh. Moshe katuv chachmei ha'musar. He says, first of all, understand, a person should examine his deeds, because suffering sometimes comes in order directly related to a person's actions. He says something also very fascinating, you wouldn't expect. Read the rest. Gam yeshlam b'milat ba'in alav. What does it mean that ba'in alav? They come upon him. Dikdek lomar shebalin alav me'atzmo, velo shehevi al atzmo yisurin. He says these yisurin that we're describing, they came upon themselves, and not that you brought upon yourselves. Mikoach ribui achila, O mi siguf, yoter midai siguf is, I think, indulgences, right? He says, if a person is a glutton, and he gets diabetes, okay, and he's overweight, and he gets diabetes, he shouldn't ask himself, oi, lo aleinu, why am I having this terrible suffering? You know why you're having this terrible suffering? Because you brought it upon yourself. Right. It's fascinating, he says. There are certain things, he says, it's obvious why you got sick. You got sick because you stayed out in the rain, because you didn't take care of yourself, because you don't go to sleep, because you... That's obvious why you got sick. He says, if you don't know, he says, if it came upon you, he says, he says, not every illness, not every sickness is the result of Yisurin of spiritual sickness. He says, if you did an evaluation and then you don't know why it happened to you, that's something else, right? I thought it was a very beautiful formulation. Then he says, "Kedai l'chol b'asmal sha'avar al hazara zo ve'entar chipos ele imbayin elav yisurim me'atzmo." If they come for reasons that you can't attribute to any other reason, so I think it's very beautiful, very powerful, because it's like it's not saying every time a person gets sick, he's being punished. There is a physical ma'arechet. There's a framework within which we all have to function. You have to take care of yourself, and if you took care of yourself and still afa pikein, then you go to the next level. Then it's ba'in alav. Then they come. But if you bring it upon yourself, it's nobody's fault but your own. It's very, very fascinating duality of perspective. That it's not always like a why. Why is this happening to me? Even if the simple things happen to you, you get a cold. Why does the person get a cold? Because my kid went to God and brought it back. What are you going to do? It happens. Okay. But me'eber the kach, if you're suffering and you don't know why and it has no connection to what's happening to you, then a person should evaluate. And I think that's very much missing. This musar is very much missing. That we read it and we know it intuitively, but somewhere there's a strong disconnect between our religious personae, between our davening and our tefillah and our learning and our desire to become connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and asking the most intimate questions about that connection. And that evaluating
what's really there. Having a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Absolutely right.
You get to the parking lot, you find parking easily. You say thank you to God. Parking lot's full. God, I'm in a hurry.
No, I don't. I don't come up with small things.
Really?
Yeah. Parking lot? Where do you get a good spot?
The joke is there. It says, don't worry. I'll worry.
Oh, yeah. Were you referring to a joke? No.
It's a good joke, though. Don't worry, it's first hand one.
Exactly. No, I don't. Really?
That's the idea. I'm not sure to what extent we have a relationship like that with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to, at least.
I don't know. Maybe I don't even aspire to that resolution. You know what I'm saying? I found the Iyun Yaakov so his formulation so appealing, because there are certain things that are just the guy moved. You know what I'm saying? Like we went to the zoo the other day. So he parked right close. Exactly what you described happened. Right when I was coming in, somebody was leaving. So is that Yad Hashem that lady wanted to leave? Hashem caused that lady to leave right when I wanted a parking spot.
Yes.
Now come on.
That's not how Derech Hashem would have said.
What?
We did Derech Hashem.
Yes.
Depends how important it is.
Pull one string, the other string happens.
No, he would also say that there are functions in the world. The world does function.
Like, that parking become available for you right now. No, that's what it's all about.
There's also teva.
What are you going to do with your teva? And that woman's free choice of whether she wanted to leave the parking spot or not leave the parking spot. Anyway.
Everything you do has an effect.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
not everything is like the
okay
the Megillah.
So that's the first time. Wait, that's the first comment on the Fashresh of Ma'asav, and I think that's probably the most important comment. And if you come away with anything from this discussion, if you ever come away with anything, it is this: we have to see the things that happen in our lives, whether you think it's the parking lot or at least the bigger things. And you can, each person on their own can decide where to start in that bigger thing. It has to affect. It has to be related to your relationship with God.
Well, that's the whole point. If you don't see the little things, you'll see the bigger things. So you might as well start looking at the little things.
On the contrary, the little things means that you're looking for like issues. Saying, well, it's not important. Parking lot. So you drive around an extra 15 minutes. It's going to kill you.
Yeah, I don't see that. Well, you have to see. That's what bothers me. Really, like you're really talking in total about 100 meters, right? At the most. You have to walk 100 more meters.
Doesn't matter.
There are more bigger fish to fry. There are other issues.
Doesn't
you know?
Matter. You got to
I will gladly be mivater on the 100 meters.
If
I could ask for a couple of other things regarding the well-being of my children, You know what I'm saying? The safety of my nephew in the upcoming ground war that hopefully won't happen.
The question is, what's
I'll pick those things.
You're suggesting Hashem only interferes in certain things.
No, I'm suggesting, I actually personally, if you really want to know what I believe that the resolution, the level of resolution, is very much related to depending upon the level of the person involved. I don't think I'm on the level that it really matters whether I get a closed parking spot or not. Because I don't view the Yad Hashem in that way. But a person who was that connected to...
How is that different than viewing Yad Hashem for any of the major things? If you believe that he controls everything, no. If you believe he controls the small things and the big things to the same degree. It's no different for God in God's scale of things to give you a parking spot than it is for him.
This is now we're back to Derech Hashem. Because in Derech Hashem, he definitely believed that there's an idea of what he called Ma'arachot. We'll be talking about this over and over again. There are systems. And it's clear you could pull the strings. And I pull a string here, up the wave, back down. But in general, without pulling the string, the system worked on its own. The system was set up to function independently. Ringing a bell, any bell whatsoever. No.
But if you need it,
So therefore, there's a parking subroutine in God's program of the world. Okay? And sometimes I'll get a good spot, and sometimes I won't get a good spot. Now, maybe, if I dive in really hard, I say, Ribbono shel Olam, my faith in you is being tested. Please, show me a sign. Give me the parking spot right next to the door of Rabbi Levi.
It's got nothing okay? to do with that. It's got to do with you accepting.
It has to do with how Doug is really good spot.
I don't think that's true. I don't think God cares whether I get a good
spot. Exactly. God put a system in place. Well, for the most part, he's not directly involved.
And you know what Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about? He cares about, this I agree with you, he cares about how I react to whether I have a good spot or not. He cares whether I say, whether if I don't get a good spot, I'm like, darn it! I'm going to go yell at my wife because I had to walk another 100 meters. You know what I'm saying? That he cares about. He cares that I accept with equanimity the fact that I didn't get the most convenient spot. That's what he cares about. Whether I got the spot or not, I don't think he cares about.
I think the point of...
He doesn't care whether you've got the spot or not. He cares about whether you accepted that what spot you got is because of Kodesh Baruch Hu chose that for you. That was
no, I think the whole thing about Yifash Fesh, Paul, is that you're looking for the for the things that are unusual.
I didn't
think
this would get into parking. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
No, your frustration is the granularities.
No, and God put a system in place, for the most part, he's letting the system take care of things. Every now and then, he might get involved in something, give you a little bit of a kick in, you know.
So,
you know.
This is about the life, is it?
God hasn't arranged spot in place for you, I'm sorry.
Up to this point, I'm really, I'm fine. I'm actually, I'm good. Okay? I'm morally and intellectually okay. Then the Gemara says the following. Pishvish velo matza. You didn't find anything, which means where are you on the tzaddik level? You're way up there. Yidlib bitur Torah. What's that? You're pishvei v'masav. You examined yourself and you couldn't find any reason why God would punish you. Okay, great. Yidlib bitur Torah. Then, what's the reason why that's the problem in and of itself. What's the problem?
But you're going to see the Torah.
Exactly, right. Wait a second. If you're Bavat Torah, why would that be a reason?
If you're Mikdash Vishmasech and you can't find your problem.
No, but it's not that. It's not that Torah. It's somebody who is learning Torah and happens to have not applied it 100%. So it was 5 minutes where he didn't do it, maybe he shouldn't be learning Torah.
Is that what we're talking about?
5 minutes wasted.
I don't know. It sounds like it, yes, actually.
So that guy, his parking spot matters. For me, so I'll listen to another 5 minutes on the news while I'm sitting waiting for it. What's the difference? So that's a good question. Ari's question is a question that was bothering me as well. What?
You've been listening to the Shiger on tape.
Yes, how about it? Okay, that's something too. V'im tala v'lo matzah, and let's say you didn't find any bittul Torah, I find that problematic to the nth degree. I mean, there's no body, there is no person in the world, I think that the greater a tzaddik is, go pick your tzaddik, pick your great rab, pick your whoever, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Kook, or whatever, go to him and say, tell me, do you think you were ever about the Torah? What's the first thing they would tell you?
Of course.
I'm about to talk all the time. It's terrible. Like, you can't imagine how much Torah. And, we would only like dream of learning like the amount of time that they're about to talk. Rabbi Shai should learn as well as they as you know, in the 5 minutes of Devar Matzah Torah. So what in the world is talking about? You're talking about a guy who's a tzaddik. He couldn't find anything wrong with himself, except Pirkei Torah, and then he couldn't find any Pirkei Torah, then b'yadua sheyesurin shel ahava hen. Then it must be the yesurin shel ahava, the yesurin of love. Okay? Ki et Hashem asher yohav u'yochiyah. And obviously, the issue of yesurin shel ahava is something that, I don't know, if you struggle with, I kind of struggle with. What? God loves you, so he slams you. Well, if he loved you, why would he slam you? What's the point of punishing someone? And then the formulation is even stronger that we said before. The more God loves you, the more he gives you yisurin, and you have to accept the yisurin in order for them to be effective. In order for them to bring you closer to God, you have to understand what they are, appreciate what they are, and accept them with love. And if you do, then you're rewarded. And if you don't, then they're not yisurin shel ahava, and either they stop, or they don't count. I don't know which one. Can anybody explain that one to me? Stump the band. Yeah.
It doesn't need explaining.
What? Doesn't need explaining?
I don't think it can't be taken at face value. It just can't. No, it's too black and white. It's too black and white. So something is like, you know, you can't say somebody is this and therefore they're getting that. It's just as you said, why does suffering happen? We don't know. That's the end.
Anybody want to try to chime in before we...
I just keep thinking back to Avraham Avinu. How does he fit into this? Because he's Tess. And he went through what could be looked at, Yisurin.
Oh, no, it could not. Could be R. Are you
but
kidding?
But then it stops. After Kelet Yitzchak, it stops.
Yeah, but then...
Had Esav. So he didn't go on Tarbut Ra until he passed away. No, I'm saying his grandson was Esav, and so, but it says that Esav, Rashi brings that he died, he went to the Talbot Ra'ah before after Avram died.
After he had his Yisurin, he got some sort of bracha after it, though. There's got to be some sort of commensurate positive that comes out of the Yisurin that we don't.
Yeah. I think the Archive that everything
comes. And he didn't sit there going, give me more.
Is the Rashi. The Gemara says,
go, I'm happy, give me more.
The Torah says, Vayeshev Yaakov. And the famous Rashi says, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Bashalva. Yaakov wanted to, Leishev Bashalva, have peace. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, hey, it's not enough that you want Shalva in Olam Haba. You also want Shalva in Olam Hazeh. Sorry. And then he had all this Agmat Nefes with his children.
Until the last 17 years of his life, where he did have a chance to.
Right. I think Avram found an example. You have no idea what.
Are we only supposed to make fashbush when bad things happen?
We're only talking about bad things.
But why? I mean,
is the opposite true for good?
Should you have
absolutely.
Relationship for good and bad?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, but nobody questions bad, good. Nobody wonders why good things. As soon as good things happen to us, what do we immediately think?
Yeah.
I deserve it. That's exactly what we think. So you don't need a Gemara to tell you, when good things happen to you, you fashion your masa, because nobody asks that question. When bad things happen to us, we say, why, what have I done? Which in and of itself is an answer. You asked the question in the very beginning, is it really that if you do X, you deserve Y? Like the Gemara on Shabbat that you say you couldn't? Couldn't very well be, how do you know? Doesn't seem to us to justify such a punishment. Who are you to decide? We don't make the rules. Right? In fact, there's a very famous Mishnah Pirkei Avot that says, we have no idea what's...
Exactly. We don't know. I accept that. We have no idea. That's why there's only one or two mitzvot that we actually know.
And even those we don't
reward.
Know.
And even those we don't know.
Right.
That's the whole point. You know, that if you chew a mother bird away, or you have respect for your parents, same reward, two completely don't get their after. They are two very different mitzvot, and yet they're the same.
Okay, let's read a little bit of the Ein Yaakov.
So all of a sudden the Gemara comes and says, actually, we know the punishment.
We're going to read a little bit of Ein Yaakov. I'm going to tell you, you see from, I brought you, like, there's a ton of mitzvot, we're not doing them all. I don't want to get bogged down in them. I want to move on in the sugya, because this could lead to endless discussions which are fascinating and interesting. And I must say, a lot of the mefarshim, they give you answers, but I'm not so excited about them. I'll just give you an example. Ein Yaakov, he goes on and says, what does it mean? Look at what Ein Yaakov says about it. In Tala v'lo Matzah. Right, it was that. He talks about Bittul Torah. Look at the very bottom here. Pishbesh v'lo Matzah Yitla b'Bittul Torah. You see on page Lama Zion? here, right down there. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm sorry, Bittul Torah right here, the top of the Ein Yaakov, the Hakotev, left hand column, last two words. Pirush, what does he mean? Bittul Torah Shelo Asa Torato Keva. Meaning what? It must be Bittul Torah. It's not Bittul Torah, the 5 minutes, whatever. Bittul Torah means you could have made Torato Umanuto. You could have dedicated your life to Torah, and you didn't. He says, that deserves Yisurin. What's interesting to me is that kind of person is a person without sin. He and we maybe have very different expectations of ourselves. Okay? So let's say you say, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you didn't do anything wrong. Well, what did you do wrong? Well, did you dedicate your life to Torah? Did you make Torah your primary goal and everything else your secondary goal? Okay? That's an understanding. It's a different understanding. For example, he goes to, you can read it, I mean, whatever. He goes to go back to the page before. He himself says, Ra'u la'ayen, let me read you a little bit of what he says. Ki lo yodati eich atzayar b'seichel sh'akadosh baruch hu mi'aser yisurin. L'mishalochat ha'klav. In the very beginning. He says, I don't understand. How does it make logical sense? U'kufi anir l'chora katar Rashi. It seems that Rashi says, sh'akadosh baruch hu mi'aser ba'olam hazeh b'li shum avon k'dei l'harbot in order to give you an olam haba. This is exactly what Johnny said before. Why? You suffer here in order to like to tip the ledger in the next world. Rashi does say that. Rei Lakshon tells it. He says, so I'll ask you a very good question. V'chi katsur k'tzara yad Hashem l'harbot z'chara l'olam haba me'bli sh'yavir l'abisurim klal. Johnny, hear his question? Mm-hmm. God can't give you reward in the next world unless he slams you in this world? He's God. He can do whatever he wants. Why is it that he needs to slam us in this world? Kevan shehayat tzadik gamur, higdil lasot zchiyot harbe, v'nishmer me'aver with the gamre. If he's a tzadik gamur, what do you want from the guy? So he's saying, well, I want to add to your ledger in the next world. So I'm gonna give you a bonus in this world and make you suffer even more, even though you don't deserve any suffering at all. Really?
Sorry.
Wait, I want to get, he quotes. I just want to skip to his answer, and then we'll stop. V'chashavti tshuva acher, left-hand side in the bracket, left-hand side. I underline it in mine. Right, no, first page, page four. Give you another answer. V'chashavti tshuva acher, right here, right after the brackets, the Ramban, he goes to the Ramban. Chav v'shav v'shav gmul l'haramban zal, l'vo matzati yisod tshuva zot. Lashon avon, what is avon? Pe'usha amiti al hamezid. That's only if you do sins on purpose. Bafshar, meaning he looked and he didn't find avonot. Fine, okay. Bafshar shimtza tzadik shelo chata bezadon. Ava b'shogeg chata. There's nobody in the world who didn't sin by accident. K'ma'amar amir al shikur. Shavayulon shalma shenishtaker. The drunk guy, why do you punish him? You punish him for getting drunk. Ava b'sha eino ba'on shalma shechata b'shikrut. Even though everything he did when he was drunk, he had no control. He said, yes, you're right, he had no control. But the one thing you can fault him for is drinking in the first place. Every intelligent person has to distance himself from things that can make you sin. That's why most korbanot were, if you do something with a mezid, you don't bring a korban. You only bring a korban if you do a shogeg. V'achshav she'ein lanu korban, מביא הקדוש ברוך הוא יסורין על הצדיק זה, למראה כל מה שחטא בשוגג, והם יסורים של אהבה. Because if, he's saying, it's not that the tzaddik was a total tzaddik. There's nobody who's a total tzaddik. Everybody sins. Some people don't sin on purpose. Some people sin by accident. They still have to pay. So instead of exacting that in the next world, Kadosh Baruch Hu exacts that in this world. But that really means is, what he's doing, if he really accepts this to be the true explanation of the Gemara, what that means is, Yisurin Shel Ahava isn't on an undeserving tzaddik. All it is on a deserving tzaddik. Everybody sins in some way. Everybody's punished in somehow. And there's no such thing as unwarranted suffering at all.
So the word Ahava is completely misplaced.
Are you happy with his answer?
No.
Right.
No, that's not bad.
Not bad? Except for Kevin's little question, why is that love? He says the love is, he's doing you a favor by not making you pay later.
It's deep.
What Kevin is saying is absolutely correct. The term Yisurin Shel Ahava implies that the punishment is a gift.
It is a gift because it's a tickle.
I understand what he's
for
saying.
The Asher, for the Asham. Before the Asham was a gift.
Does it make you happy?
No. No, but okay. But, also, but what about the Asham? The Asham technically was a gift as well, right?
Mayu, what's that here? You want to say something before we start?
Yes. First of all, this says, sometimes Hashem afflicts a person to overcome those afflictions and engage in self-study as part
You're reading the last piece. You're talking about the Ein Yaakov, the last piece. Because he says,
Ki lekach tov
natati. The Gemara says, da-da-da-da-da-da. Right, okay, anyway, yeah.
Extension of what I was saying before. We replace Karbala with Tefillah, not with Yisurah. But on Yom Kippur, we bring affliction, which is effectively Yisurah. Okay? We suffer. We make ourselves suffer.
It's a different word.
We want to, but I think the concept is the same. Yisurah is about distancing yourself from the physical world, from the physical pleasures, from what you enjoy in this world, so that you can bring yourself closer to Hashem, because all you focus on is Olam Haba and what's going to happen there.
If that makes you feel good, that's all fine and good. But the Gemara talks about suffering.
Yeah, suffering, so that you afflict yourself away from this world.
Pain.
I mean, you can compare it to an asham.
Sacrifice that. Yitzchak.
That's pain.
That's pain.
That's mental pain.
It's pain. And
that's not what you're describing. That's not what you're describing.